hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having a fabulous day today. It actually hasn't really rained at all today yet, which is actually quite nice. It's stifling hot when it rains, and it's stifling hot when it doesn't rain. And I'd rather keep the vehicles clean and not walk around in soup all day. So I'd rather just have it be hot and dry for the time being. We live in Florida, so you can just jump in the lake if you want to cool down. Other than that, though, how are you doing today, Deb?
Good, except for the brain-eating amoebas in the lake. I mean, it's just the hot temperature breeds brain-eating amoebas. And a few years ago, you know, there's like 100 lakes in our town, and we're on a lake. And a few years ago, they ended up having a kid in our lake died from a brain-eating amoeba, which isn't a joke. This really is a true problem. And the problem is when it gets real hot, especially around the weeds, these amoebas are very, very prevalent. So if you're going to go swimming or skiing, stay out of the weeds and stay in the middle of the lake. And back to remember, Austin, that's what we used to do when I had a boat. We'd take the boat and take it out of the middle of the lake, drop an anchor where the water was clear, cool, and still clean, and we would just swim. You know, of course, everybody had to know how to swim because the water is 20 feet deep. And of course, if they didn't know how to swim, we'd strap a life jacket to them. But, some of the fun living in Florida now, some of the springs here and the rivers are amazing. And you get their water so super crystal clear. But I want to start with a story here today. I contacted Russ Dizdar, my friend. I've interviewed him many times when I was on the Power Hour. In fact, he was one of my favorite guests. And in fact, the management of the Power Hour got mad because I had him on because he was too Christian for them. Sorry, I should have said that. But he's not too Christian for me. I mean, I get it all the time. Ted, you're too Christian. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Well, you really talk about this stuff with Jesus all the time. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Well, you really, really should calm that down. I'm like, why? Well, because it's really offensive to people who aren't Christians. Okay, how about no? How about I'm not going to calm it down? Because that's the answer we have is through the cross, through Christ, through the blood of Jesus. And how about I know? How about I don't calm it down? How about the last time I was on with George Norrie on Coast to Coast, which was my last time I was ever invited on the show? It was right at Easter time, and I wanted to talk about the blood of Christ. I mean, it's Easter. it's Easter weekend, and I want to talk about the blood of Christ. And I two or three times I tried to segue into it. Two or three times, snap, don't want to talk about that. Finally, he had his assistant, Lisa, she got on the telephone with me, and she goes, Ted, what are you doing? I said, I'm talking, it's Easter Sunday, I'd like to talk to you, because it's like Friday night, it's Good Friday, and I said, I'd like to talk about, you know, Easter and the blood of Jesus and what it does and the power of the blood. She goes, he doesn't want to talk about that. Now, this is funny to me, okay, because just before I went on the first time, he had a Sabbatean witch on. You think I'm joking, I'm not joking. And that witch got to talk about whatever that witch wanted to talk about. And here I am trying to talk about the blood of Jesus. Can't do it. Can't do it. So I haven't been back on. And quite frankly, being a show that starts at like midnight our time or 11 o'clock our time, if you come on at 1 o'clock and you're on for 3 hours, you're up until 3 or 4 in the morning doing those shows. And Austin will tell you that is accurate. And you get so ragged out doing it. Then you got to bring staff in and answer the telephones in the middle of the night. Yeah. They get all ragged out. And so it's just one of those deals that you just don't really... You know, it's very difficult to do it from the East Coast. Now, if George called me back and said, I'd like to have you back on, I'd say, sure, I'll be happy to, because it's a huge footprint. Now, he used to be a lot, lot bigger. He used to have like over 600 stations. I think he's down to 200 or 300 now. But it was why I was talking about the syndicated shows last night. But okay, how I got on that topic, I have no idea. But I want to read you about my, I contacted Russ Dizdar, and I wanted to make sure that what I was going to talk to you guys about today was correct. This is Dr. Hammond. Now, Dr. Hammond is a psychologist. He's a professor of medicine, physical medicine and rehabilitation at the Utah School of Medicine. He's the past president of the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis, which, yes, there is such a society. He's a past president of the International Society for Neuronal Regulation, and he's the director and the founder of the Marital Therapy Clinic at the University of Utah. He's a past editor of the American Journal of Clinical Hypnosis and is the author of 57 journal articles or reviews and 8 books, including a leading textbook. Okay, so this guy's pretty big time at what he does. Now, years ago, he was brought into a seminar to speak. And this is the last time that he ever spoke. This dozens of years ago, and Russ Dizdar was there. I've already discussed this with Russ via email today. Russ was there. He heard this speech. And after this speech, he was basically told, that's it, you don't talk about it anymore. And since then, he has completely and shut his mouth. Now, I'm going to read you part of the speech. I hope to spend an hour or so talking specifically about ritual abuse, mind control programming, and brainwashing. How it's done and how to get on the inside. This is a topic that in the past I haven't been willing to speak about publicly. I have done that in small groups and in consultations, but recently decided it was high time that somebody started speaking about this. Well, he did this to this group of therapists, and basically that was it. He's never done it again. Apparently he got really hammered. Now, I'm quoting him now. Here's this part of his speech. Here's where the ritual abuse appears to have come from. Now, you guys stay with me on this. There's a reason I'm doing this. Here's where the ritual abuse appears to come from. Near the end of World War II, Alan Dulles, later become director of the CIA, started in 1947, and other people from our intelligence community were in Switzerland making contact to get out Nazi scientists. As World War II ended, they not only got out the rocket scientists, but they also got out some of the Nazi doctors from the concentration camps who had been doing mind control research in the concentration camps. They secretly brought them to the United States through Operation Paperclip. Then, along with them, as a young teenager who had been raised as in a Hasidic Jewish tradition with a background of Kabbalism and mysticism. Now, I'm going to stop for 1 second. I've told you guys these are Sabbatean Kabbalists, these Luciferians. When they study Kabbalah, they study witchcraft and worshiping of angels and changing the physical structure of matter using sound. This is what the Kabbalah teaches. And the Kabbalah is a messed up work. I mean, guys, it's messed up. And so when you know that Jared Kushner is a member of the Chabad sect, and they study Kabbalah, which is what Madonna was involved in with a little red string around their wrist, this is the study of mysticism and all the crazy stuff that goes along with it. I'm going to go back and read that again. Along with them was a young teenager who had been raised in a Hasidic Jewish tradition with a background of Kabbalistic mysticism that probably appealed to people in the cult, because at the turn of the century, Aleister Crowley, these are his words, this is the guy who's the doctor, at the turn of the century, Aleister Crowley, who many said was the most evil man in the world, I'm adding that, had been introducing Kabbalism into satanic stuff. Here we go. They're mixing the Kabbalistic Jewish info that the Kabbalistic Jews practice, and mysticism is all mixed into this mind control. I suspect that it may have formed some bond between the boy and the Nazis. He saved his skin by collaborating and being an assistant to them in the death camps experiments. They brought him with the Nazis to the United States. They started doing mind control research for military intelligence and military hospitals in the United States. The people that came, the Nazi doctors, were Satanists. I'm going to repeat that again. The people that came, the Nazi doctors, were Satanists. Subsequently, the boy, the Jewish boy, changed his name, Americanized some, obtained a medical doctor degree, became a physician, and continued this work that appears to be at the center of cult programming today. His name is known to patients through the country, Dr. Greenbaum, Greenbaum. I have patients volunteer that there were parts inside named Mr. Greenbaum. It was also called Green Programming. Now, this gets really weird. Now, you got to stay with me. I don't like this, but I'm going to read it to you today because I talked about this so much. The way you create a Manchurian candidate is you divide the mind. It's part of what the intelligence community wanted. This is what they learned in the Nazi concentration camps through torture. If you're going to get an assassin, you divide the mind. Cases like the assassination of Robert Kennedy fascinated him. Bernard Diamond, on examining the Sirhan, found that he had total amnesia of the killing of Robert Kennedy, yet under hypnosis he could remember it. But after he was out of hypnosis, he could not remember anything, despite suggestions he would be able to consciously remember. What they basically do in these programs is they get a child, and they start programming in basic forms. It appears by about the age of 2.5, which would be Hunter's age, Austin. The child has already had been made disassociative. They make him disassociative not only through abuse, like sexual abuse, but also things like putting a mousetrap on their fingers, like you're slamming a mousetrap on their fingers, and teaching the parents, you do not go into the child's room until the child stops screaming. Only then do you go and remove the mousetrap. Now, these are a bunch of sick SOBs. I'm not going to use the words, but that's what these guys are. They start in a rudimentary form at a child at about 2.5 and kick it into high gear. It appears around 6 or 6.5. They continue through adolescence with periodic reinforcements in adulthood. There is an identification that people have It will involve their birthday. It involves places where they were programmed. It will usually involve a number that will be in their birth order, like 02 if they were second born. It will usually also involve a number that represents the number of generations in the cult. If they are bloodlines, if I've seen up to 12 now, 12 generations of these bloodline cults. When you go below the altars associated with split personalities, then you have programs like Alpha, Beta, Delta, Theta. Now, you can read this whole article he wrote and this whole information from him. It's available online. I'm going to stop there because I don't want to get into more detail on this. It gets really sick. And the thing about this is, guys, this was his speech. This top medical professional who works in this field, Russ Dizdar, was there. He corroborates that it happened, that this speech took place, and he was there. It was the last time he ever openly spoke about this in public because apparently he was threatened and they figured they were going to kill him if he did not do this. So guys, it's very, very important that everybody understands that this stuff is real. We don't want it to be real. I don't want it to be real. I want this stuff to be all completely made up and nonsense, but it's real. Now, here's where you can go to find this information. If you go to wanttoknow.info, that's WANTTOKNOW.INFO, and just put in mind control, hypnosis, and ritual abuse, the historic and powerful Greenbaum lecture. And he will go into detail on what they did, how they do it, and why everybody here needs to be concerned. Because he says there are a lot of these guys. Russ Dizdar says the numbers are probably into the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people that have been programmed like this. Sleeper cells, sleeper armies. Think about this for a second. How many of these sociopathic, Muslim, barbarian, gang-raping rapists that are being brought into the United States, along with a plethora of other people that we have no idea what their backgrounds are, how many of them have been programmed to be sleeper agents like this? That's just a question. Why are they bringing in on C-130 transport planes under President Kenya, gay guy? Why are they bringing them in under his administration in the middle of the night? Who are these people? They're saying that Sirhan Sirhan couldn't remember what he had done in the assassination because of the dissociative identity. And when he was put under hypnosis, he could remember, but he could never even be made to remember what he had done when he came out. That's how they had split his mind. How do we know they haven't been doing this with people all over the country to start their civil war that they want so desperately? But I want to start off with that today because I've talked about this in detail. One of these articles came across my desk today, and so I want to cover this. Now, I'm going to say something else, too. I get a lot of emails from you guys, and I love it. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I prayed again for, you know, Alex in Australia today. Guys, we need to pray with him right now. He's having some severe health issues. Father, right now I pray for Alex. I speak complete and total restorative healing. I pray that he's completely and totally recovered. I pray that he walks in divine health and receives your divine healing, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you guys for praying with me on that. But I get a lot of emails from all over the country linking me to other news talk shows. Now, I'm going to say something for a second, and it's probably going to rock a few feathers here. Some of the people who send me the information are some of the smartest people I know. But here's the problem. A lot of the talk show hosts are not who they appear to be. They're disinformation agents. Now, I'm talking alternative news now. And the problem with it is a lot of these guys get on big shows, like they're interviewed like on Laura Ingraham and a lot of other ones. Guys, if you start talking about Sabbatean Kabbalists and Luciferianisms, you're not going to get on Laura Ingraham's show. You're not going to be on the Fox Network. You're not going to be anywhere. You start talking about the Federal Reserve Bank and how the Rothschild started Israel, you're not going to go on any national talk shows like this. So whenever you hear anybody who's giving you this information that's staying with the mainstream narrative of being a Republican or being a Democrat and promoting one group over the other group, they're fake news. They're giving you information they want to give you because that's what they're told to do. Now, if they get on both sides of this and they say, okay, Donald Trump's done some pretty good stuff with this thing with Gottlieb with the FDA, that was a stupid decision. These comments about guns, that was a stupid decision. And they're telling you the things that we tell you on the show. You know that we're shooting straight with you guys, and I'm not playing that fake news game. I never have, and I never will. It's not something that's going to be beneficial for you guys who are listening or for Austin and I as talk show hosts, because, guys, the sad part about all of this is that a lot of people are being misled by listening to these guys. And now some of these guys and girls who are on alternative talk shows, they're very good. They're too good. Okay? They've got too much backing. They've got too many people working for them on the show. They've got too many producers. They've got too many news stories that are coming out, but they never talk about what I just told you they don't talk about. Because a lot of the information they're giving you, probably 80% of it is 100% right. Maybe 90%. But guys, that's what they do. That disinformation comes in the last 10%. Because what they do is they gain your trust with the 80 or 90% of correct information, and then they slip this crap in that's complete and total nonsense, and everybody's supposed to fall for it because 80 or 90% of what they said was right. Remember what I told you when Captain Nibiru from Planet X or whatever called me up after the one show on Coast to Coast, and he gave me like 90% information that was absolutely accurate and 10% was completely nuts? It's what they do. They can read the news also in alternative media, but they always slip in this other stuff. If they're not talking about the Federal Reserve Bank, if they're not talking about Samuel Untermeyer, if they're not talking about what happened with Woodrow Wilson and him being blackmailed to get the Federal Reserve Act in and getting us into World War I, if they're not talking about the Balfour Declaration, if they're not talking about what's going on in Palestine today, if they're not talking about any of this stuff, except to take the mainstream narrative approach on it, guys, they're disinformation. They're COINTELPRO, 99% positive. Now, there may be one or two people out there that have been dissuaded. And I had another guy. I had him on. Gosh, I was on his show several years ago. Actually, he came onto my show. I went back on his show. And it was interesting because I started talking to him about 9/11. He had no idea about any of this stuff that was going on. And he was an alternative talk show guy. And also, he has this big fancy studio. He's in a big fancy TV show. I mean, this is his show. Where the heck did he get the money for all this stuff? Who paid for all of the studio stuff? Finally, I talked to him about 2 years later, and he called me up, and I was talking to him, and he goes, "Dude, you were right about everything you said." I said, "Yeah, I know. But here's the problem." He started figuring out the truth, and he stopped playing their games. He's no longer on the air. He's no longer being funded. He's no longer being bankrolled. Guys, it's one of those things that we're doing because this is, I'll be honest with you guys. If God had not called me out of retirement 5-6 years ago and woke me up in that dream and spoke to me in German, I told you that story, I wouldn't be doing this. This is not something that I ever saw myself doing. I'm the health guy. Okay? That's who I am. I just happen to know a lot of esoteric stuff because I read all the time without almost 100% comprehension and retention. So I know a lot of what's going on. So the problem is that when God calls you to do something and he gives you the anointing to do it, you better darn sure do it. Because he'll take that anointing away from you, and he may punch your time clock, and your time stamp can be expired, and you're gone. Guys, it's important that if God gives you the rights or the abilities or the direction to do things, that you follow through with it. In other words, you got a lot of friends of yours who believe the mainstream news lies. Why don't you send them out an email, send them a link to my show, or to Doug Hagman's show, or to Sheila's show. Say, why don't you listen to these guys for a little bit? Why don't you send them that movie, 9/11 Mysteries, or 9/11 Loose Change, and say, hey, why don't you watch this and see what's really going on? Maybe you'll learn a few things. Maybe you won't. What I do now when I meet pregnant people who I know that are pregnant, I give them a copy of the movie Vaxxed. I don't even try to argue with them about vaccines anymore. I say, hey, if I send you a free movie, will you watch it? Response is always yes, if it's going to be about the health of your child. Guys, it's important that all of us, every single person, we have a huge listening audience all over the world. It's important that all of us work together to promote real alternative news. Shows like this one where we don't play any games with what's going on in the real media. Guys, like I told you, I'm the equal opportunity offender. I hack off everybody. I hack off Germany. I hack off Russia. I hack off the CIA, the NSA. I hack off Israel. I hack off some of the Christians. I hack off some of the Jews. We really hack off the Muslims. I mean, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to spur a discourse. You're supposed to spur thought. You're supposed to make people think about what you're saying and then make their own decision. Don't be a mindless sheeple. Even a dead fish can float downstream. It doesn't need to be this way. We have to empower ourselves through the Word of God and with one another and with each other's prayers. That's what we have to do so that we can continue to march down this road. You say, well, I don't agree with everything you say, Ted. Okay, you don't have to agree with everything I said. If I say something wrong to you about the Balfour Declaration or anything, you feel is incorrect, do your research on it. You sent it to me. You proved that I was wrong. I'll issue a retraction on the air. I've told people that. And I can't, but nobody ever sends me this stuff because once they start doing the research, they call me back and they go, shoot, man, I didn't know that was right. You were right. I said, well, yeah, I don't want to be right. But yeah, I don't want this stuff to be right. The stuff I just read you about mind programming, that's like out of the pit of hell. Oh, that's right. It is out of the pit of hell. These guys were Satanists who followed Aleister Crowley, who's supposed to be the most evil man on the planet. So these guys take these little children and they torture them until they dissociate their identities. What kind of sick blankety blank would do that? These guys need a bullet in the back of the head to do this to kids. Are you a bunch of weirdos, sickos? Oh, that's right. They're Satanists. They practice Kabbalah. Whoops, there I said it again. These are Sabbatai and Kabbalah, the lead guys in all of this stuff. This is not a joke. We're not making it up. And find me another show besides Sheila or Hagman's or whatever who talk about this stuff. Except for Rush Dizdar. He does too. Because we talk about all of this stuff. Because, guys, if I take this thread and I pull it out of what's going on right now and I ignore it and pretend like it's not there, none of it makes any sense. You take Genesis chapter 6 out of the Bible. You take the book of Enoch out of the Bible, it clouds everything up because you think, why in the world did that happen? Why would God go in and flush the whole planet and kill all those people? Because they weren't people anymore, guys. Their DNA had been changed. They had become the benign Nephilim. They were sons of Lucifer. God had enough of it. And he pulled the plug on the planet and left Noah there because he had clean DNA. But these clowns, it says in Genesis chapter 6, they were there before and after the flood. They started their nonsense all over again. That's why Christ says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when I return. Paraphrase that. When every thought of every man was evil, it says in Genesis chapter 6. That's why we talk about this stuff all the time. Because if we don't talk about this stuff, you can't tie the pieces together again. When I finally learned about this stuff in Genesis chapter 6 many, many years ago, I thought, well, wow, now it makes sense why God flushed the planet and killed everybody. Got that one now. Now I'm good. Guys, that's why it's so important. Don't listen to teachers who tell you what your itching ears want to hear. Don't do that. That's what the Word says. In latter days, some will follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. You know, such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron, and they forbid people to marry. They order to abstain from certain types of meats that God created to be good, received for those who know the truth. I'm doing that from memory, so don't fuss at me if I miss the Word. Guys, it's important that you get this. That's what's going to happen in the latter days. It warns us. And this soothsayer, these guys that run around and tell you what you want to hear and give you 80% of the rupla and then 20% complete nonsense, guys, why would you? It's like I told you the one guy. I don't listen to him at all anymore. When I saw him in a gay parade, kissing the breasts of another woman in the gay parade, and he openly admits to having sold his wife into sex bondage things with other men and trading her off in sex parties. I mean, why would I listen to anything that pervert talks about? Why would I listen to anything he says? I don't want to see his lips move. And why would I use anything that he says as some kind of evidence? The guy has no moral grounds. He's got too many problems in his life. I mean, why would I think that this guy's going to teach me something I need to know? I'm sorry, guys, I shouldn't have got off on that. But, guys, that's just how I want to share this. But when I start talking about what they do to these children, it racks me bad. It racks me up. It just launches me off because I can't stand people to hurt children. I've got four kids. Of all my kids, you got two kids. I love my kids. I love my grandkids. And, guys, when I start talking about this stuff and what these guys did in those concentration camps, these Luciferians, and how they combined it with Kabbalistic teachings, and this is one of the top guys in the world talking about it, I'm quoting him today. It just frosts me. Anyhow, Austin, what do you think of your next story? I got to calm down.
Well, yeah, and let me add something on to this, because I got this article today out of Iowa, and I found this to be rather disturbing, especially if any of our listeners live in Iowa. You definitely need to make sure you know what's going on, especially if you have kids up there. This has gotten like zero media coverage almost, except a young student out of University of Iowa is the only one who has made headlines recently after she disappeared on an evening jog, but she is not the only one. Dozens of children have been reported missing in Iowa in just the last 10 days. Tibbins, basically, who's the girl, Molly Tibbins, 20 years old, basically was the latest face of the missing person database this week after she was last seen jogging near her boyfriend's house on the evening of July 18th. vanished. Nobody has seen her. Nobody knows where she went. Nobody knows what happened to her. Now, if you go into the missing persons database now published by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, 48 people have gone missing in the last 2 weeks, and almost 40 of those people are children. On the same day that Tibbins disappeared, two other children reported missing in Iowa. Mackenzie Lipp and David Harm. Now, what's even stranger is the next 2 days after Molly was basically vanished, another 8 children were reported missing in the second day after she vanished. Mackenzie York, Malachi Vanderpool, Nazoli Campbell, Joshua Wallace, Nia Howell, Madeline Francis, Josiah Armstrong, and Yarzi Arita, most of them all ranging from age basically 13 to 15. Now, this is very odd, because this is something that happens on a regular basis. Children, you know, they just disappear all the time. For whatever reasons, you can only speculate. Most people already kind of know. But the fact that this has happened, and a lot of these were all centered in very similar, close to areas in central Iowa, this is very strange. So I want to kind of bring that up to tie that into what Dad said, and the fact that if you do live in Iowa or you're around those areas, you always have to be aware of this. I've talked to Lana about this all the time. With our kids, it doesn't matter whoever kids, if you're watching kids, if you have grandkids, if you're anything, you always have to keep an eye on them at all times. And always, and I mean always, stay frosty when you're taking them out somewhere and keep a basically unusual awareness of your surroundings on people that are in your element. I talk about this all the time just when you're out and about, especially if you're carrying a firearm, basically seeing people that are walking around. I told you about that incident that happened at Publix a couple weeks ago with that guy that was looked like he was blatantly on dope, tried to walk up to me and basically ask me for a lighter. I already saw him coming a mile away. I already knew he was about to confront me, and that's why I addressed him and confronted him before he even got close to me. If you're out and about with your kids, you have to have situational awareness, because it can happen like that, so fast, you don't even know what happened. And the thing is, a lot of these guys that are involved in this type of basically a child abduction, as sick as it is to say, this is what they do for a living. They are professional abductors. This is what they do. This isn't one of those things where, like, they work a full-time job and occasionally every couple weekends they go out and abduct a child or two. These guys are paid to do this on a regular basis. They ride around in the vehicles that they know are exactly what they need to have. They're usually very bland. They're usually very hard to spot. They usually blend in very well, and they know exactly where they need to go. They spy and they pry and they watch the situation of what's going on. When they see these kids, like this girl, Molly, she probably had headphones in. She was probably running by herself, and it was probably later on in the evening, which when I looked into it, that's exactly what it was, and I had already called it before I even read that article. If you're going out running, and I don't care if you're a grown adult, do not run with headphones in. And a lot of people say, well, I don't like to run. I like to listen to music and this and that. That's fine. Go to a private gym and get on an elliptical machine and put some headphones in a public setting. Do not run around in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening with headphones on. You're an absolute target. You have zero situational awareness because, A, you're focused on only one thing, what's ahead of you. When you're running, you're not looking around you. You cannot look around you for very long while you're running because you'll trip, you'll fall, or you'll run into something. 99% of what you're looking at when you run is directional. One direction, straight ahead. That is it. Your peripheral shot, you're only focused straight ahead. When you take that element of vision out, now you take the element of hearing out. You got earbuds in. You got them cranked up. You're running. You have no idea what's going on around you. Your heart rate's through the roof. You're getting exhausted. Your muscles are basically wearing out. You do not know. All it takes is somebody to walk up behind you with a billy club at 7 p.m. at night when it's turning dusk, bonk you in the back of the head. Two guys grab you by the arms. They drag you right around the corner, throw you in a box van, slide the door, and nobody ever sees you again. When I was 18 years old, I used to live in an apartment. It was called Park 33. Horrific place to live. I don't know why I lived there. To my roommate, were too cheap to get another apartment that basically had a gated community. It was one of the worst mistakes of my life. Regardless, I still lived there for a year until our lease was up. at that point in time when I was 18, I went and I bought a Gixxer 1000 motorcycle, basically a brand new crotch rocket. I've been on motorcycles my entire life, so don't write me and tell me I don't need to ride those because I don't ride them anymore. I've already sold all of them. I've had enough friends die on those motorcycles. I don't need to see any more deaths. Anyways, I had this motorcycle, and I had it parked right beside my pickup truck in my apartment complex, and I was on the third-story floor of Park 33. It was two nights before Christmas. I was over there. The next day, I was planning on going over to Mom and Dad's house, basically up Christmas Eve and Christmas. Everybody was gone to the apartment. They had already gone home, and I was basically packing up stuff, and I heard basically a light commotion outside. This is like at 11 o'clock at night on like a Thursday night. So I walked out on the balcony, and sure enough, as soon as I walk out on the balcony, there's a white box van pulled up right beside my truck and right beside my motorcycle. They were parked right next to each other in one spot. And so for a split second, I didn't think much of it. But then I thought to myself, why is a white box van in my parking lot at 11 o'clock at night? And this is a small parking lot in my apartment complex where I had. I looked right down onto the parking lot. So I was literally probably, you know, 30, 40 feet away from this box van, even being on the third floor. I mean, they were right below me. And literally, as I turn around to go into the house, I hear the door slide open on the box van, and I turn back around and look, and two very large black males jump out of the box van, grab my motorcycle on each side by the rear quarter panel and the front handlebars, throw it into the box van, jump in the box van, slam the door, and take off, literally under 10 seconds flat. I immediately ran and grabbed my shotgun and my keys, and I tried to run downstairs and tried to catch them, never found them, called the cops, never found the bike, ended up being a debacle with the motorcycle. But my point in saying this is this. These guys were professional thieves. They knew what they wanted. They were planning to come take what they wanted, and they successfully took what I had. There was nothing I could do about it as fast as I was prepared to do so because I was not right up next to my motorcycle. Never be without a arm's reach of your children if you're in an environment that you cannot control. And that is a fact you have to live by. If you're out and about, if you're going to the store, if you're in the parking lot, do not leave your children further than arm reach because it literally takes a second and they are gone. And there's nothing you can do about it if you are not close enough to physically detain the person or basically draw a firearm and stop them with any type of accurate shooting without hitting your child. So this is why I tell you this story. This is what happens on a regular basis, and there's a reason why kids get abducted all the time, and a lot of it has to do with poor situational awareness that could a lot of times be fixed if people knew what was going on around them, Dad. So that's why I wanted to add that story in there.
You know, Austin, you're absolutely right. Today I was coming home from Winter Haven before the show about an hour and a half ago, and I looked on the roads, and there were no kids out. And I looked at my wife, Sharon, and I said, you know, honey, I said, when we were children, this road in the middle of the summertime would be covered with kids playing football, playing baseball, you know, kids up to mischief, kicking soccer balls down the road. I said, there's nobody out here. I said, there's no kids playing anywhere. And I said, people have gotten so paranoid about letting their kids run around anywhere because so many kids have been abducted and kids are all their iPhones and video games that they don't really go outside anymore. It's just everything's changed. Our whole world has changed. But Austin's 100% right. You've got to maintain situational awareness wherever you go. Guys, especially if you carry a concealed weapon. Yeah, when you carry a concealed weapon, you have the ability within seconds to create deadly force. You got to know what you're doing. You can't be out there flinging your gun around, you know, muzzle sweeping everybody. You got to be aware of what's happening, and you got to predict things that are happening around you. When you see things that are going sideways, the best thing for you to do, if possible, especially if you got your family with you, is you need to get your vehicle and drive away. If you can do that. Or you need to move to the other side of the store. And the last thing you want to do is to draw that weapon. Because you have the ability, and I guarantee you, you say, well, if somebody shoots somebody or somebody's robbing somebody, I'm going to get involved. Okay, I got that. But I will tell you this. This is so important you get this. If you have to shoot and kill somebody in self-defense, your life will never be the same again. Everything will change. I mean, I don't care if it was completely and totally justified. It's best to avoid it and avoid the confrontation. Because, guys, once you drop that domino, it sets up a series of cascading events that'll forever change everything. Not even to mention, you know, the legal applications of it, the ramifications of it, and the wrongful death lawsuits that could have developed. All this crazy stuff's going to all come in around you, and you're going to be like, what the heck? I wish I'd just walked away. It's easier to walk away, take care of your kids, keep them tight. by the way. Banned movie. There's a banned movie now. It is actually showing American-born billionaire Bill Browder. He's basically one of the Russian guys that basically worked with the Russians. He was raised Jewish. Not as a warrior against the Russian corruption, but as the corrupted one himself. Bill Browder is an American-born hedge fund manager who gave up his citizenship to avoid U.S. taxes. I'm sure he probably went to Israel, but I'm not sure about that. I'm sure he's a dual citizen. A lot of guys do that. But if there's one big, large shipping line, the owner of the shipping, not the shipping line, it was like a cruise line for passengers. He left America to avoid the taxes and became a citizen of Israel. He is the CEO of Heritage Capital Management, that at one time was the largest foreign portfolio investor in Russia. A few years ago, he was convicted in absentia by a Russian court for massive tax fraud. This is the guy that Putin talked about during his speech, although he claimed that the trial was a ruse to cover the fact that he was attempting to expose corruption within the Russian government. The reality of the corruption on both sides is well established by the manner in which, in 1990, Russian officials sold government assets to Russian and Western oligarchs at pennies on the dollar of their true value. They literally stripped Russia of its assets. Nevertheless, Browder has found eager believers in his innocence among American politicians and media outlets who are calling for war against Russia. A documentary film, The Magnitsky Act, M-A-G-N-I-T-S-K-Y, Magnitsky Act, behind the scenes, shows Browder as the schemer in this issue rather than the crusader. He has been effectively banned by the U.S., by Browder's attorneys, they banned the movie, who threatened lawsuits against any theater or video outlet that considers presenting it to the public. The movie currently has a working link embedded in the article by Phil Giraldi, if you guys want to watch it. But guys, when Russia fell, when the Soviet Union fell, a group of these Rothschild finance guys is what they were, okay, came in and they bought up Russia for pennies on the dollar, and they literally extracted billions and hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars out of Russia. Putin finally had enough of them, threw a bunch of them out of jail, ran a bunch of them out of the country. But guys, this is the guy that Hillary Clinton was aligned with, and this is the guy who sent her that huge bonus check, I guess she got from the Russian government or from these guys that Putin mentioned on his speech the other day. Just wanted to give you a heads up on that. And again, other people aren't going to want to talk about this, but here I go again, talk about things I probably don't need to talk about, but that's what happened. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, that whole situation is wild. To me, what the wild part was is how blatantly obvious the mainstream media spun the entire story. You have Putin drop literally a bombshell of Clinton, the corruption, the scandals, all the stuff that links back to the Russian collusion with Clinton's, and the only thing they want to talk about is Trump's a traitor. He's committed treason because he met with Putin. He actually is trying to prevent us from going to a nuclear war. How dare he think we do not all want to die in a fireball? And I'm sitting there like, really, guys? Are you guys kidding me right now? Like, this is a joke. Like, you guys are really trying to spin it this hard. They spun it that hard. Also, too, in other news, this is something that we've talked about repeatedly, but it is now mainstream, blatantly obvious, slap you in the face. You can't ignore it anymore. I've warned people for years about these DNA collection services that tell you about your heritage, you know, like 23andMe, a lot of the other ones they have now. I forgot all the names. There's a bunch of them, though. You guys know. Basically, you do a mouth swab. You send them your DNA. They do all this research on it, find out basically where you're from, your ancestry, all that. Ancestry.com is one of them. And, you know, one of the things I've always told people is if you read the fine print on that, when you send them your DNA, you basically lose all rights of that DNA. It's no longer your DNA anymore when it's in their possession. It's now their DNA. Same concept of when you put your money in a bank. It's no longer your money in the bank. It is the bank's money, and they can give it back to you when they choose to do so. If you don't believe me, go to the bank right now and ask them to take all of your money out of your savings account and give it to you in cash if you have any kind of considerable money in there, a 401k, a savings account, and see what happens. They'll tell you, we don't have the cash in the account. We have to order it. We'll give it to you in 5 to 10 business days. We'll let you know when that shows up, and you need to fill out all these forms and tell us why you need the cash, what you're going to do with the cash, how you're going to spend the cash, and then we have to send it to IRS to let them know, basically, you could be up to something shady. So don't give me that argument about it's your money even though it's in the bank. It is not your money. It's the bank's money. Same concept with Ancestry.com. You give them your DNA, it's their DNA now. Perfect example. Major pharmaceutical company, the one and only GlaxoSmithKline, has now signed a four-year deal with 23andMe as a genetic testing company that will now basically acquire their massive database of DNA information. The partnership announced Wednesday will focus on the development of new drugs, beginning with focus on possible treatments for Parkinson's disease. Roughly 5 million people have already submitted DNA samples to 23andMe to discover their ancestral background as well as general information. Customers now will basically have the ability to formally opt out of the policy that 23andMe has now signed with GlaxoSmithKline if they do not want to have their DNA sold to a massive pharmaceutical company. Now, here's the ironic part about this. You can formally opt out. However, you already have a legal binding contract that you signed when you sent them your DNA telling 23andMe that you're relinquishing your rights to the DNA, and 23andMe now owns your DNA. So forgive me for not believing these guys that they're going to allow you to opt out, because it's now their DNA, and they don't have to let you opt out because it's not yours anymore. It's theirs. They can sell it to GlaxoSmithKline for pennies on the dollar. GlaxoSmithKline will now acquire millions upon millions of Americans' DNA so they can use, supposedly, to do research on new pharmaceutical drugs, if you actually believe that's what they're going to use it for, or other nefarious reasons. But I just thought this article was almost ironic, because I've had so many people that said that, oh no, these companies, Ancestry.com, they won't do that. They're never going to sell your DNA. Guys, do you understand how much money these guys are sitting on right now with 5 million people DNA samples? This is literally a literal money printing machine gold mine. They're sitting on probably billions of dollars worth of DNA right now, and GlaxoSmithKline finally found a way to get in and signed a four-year deal with them for full access to all of their DNA records, including the future DNA that's going to be submitted to 23andMe. So, hate to say I told you so on this a year and a half ago, but I told you so, Dad, and I told everybody this, and you agree with me on it. It's blatant, okay. It's obvious, and they're not even trying to hide it now.
All right, okay, let's stop for just 1 second. GlaxoSmithKline, that's that big old pharmaceutical company that loves to make vaccines. That's, they love vaccines. This is the one that, you know, Gottlieb represented. I mean, this is the head of the FDA. This whole thing is so steeped in just obfuscation, it's unbelievable. Okay, we also know that they have already put piezoelectric crystals in all of us via chemtrails, and that we have now become read-write units with our DNA, and they can send out our DNA, or we can send out our DNA or whatever. So we have the ability now to now sell our DNA so they can actually locate us, because the DNA emits a certain specific frequency per individual. Now they have the ability to locate you on a frequency level. Just thought I'd mention that. Secondly, I'm not saying that these guys would do this, because what I'm fixing to say is pretty far out there, but I've heard it already, and I'm not saying that I'm implying that these guys would even do that, but I'm saying this from a, let's use a metaphor. I like metaphors and stuff like this. Let's say I've got a company that's out of China. And China, basically, they're the Shanghai Yahoo Yiki Yaki company, and they're the ones that want your DNA. And they, the Shanghai Yiki Yaku company, they have decided that they don't like Germans. They don't like Germans. You know, Germans are bad. You know, bad German, you know. And they go, we got all these DNA samples of Germans at the Shanghai Yiki Yaki company, and we can develop a vaccine or an aerosol mist that's going to specifically target Germans only. You guys think I'm kidding? They've got the technology. Yep. They've got the technology. We gave it to them by giving away our DNA. And they can test it and test it and test it and test it until they dial it in. And, well, they don't like Italians. Can't stand Italians or Greeks. Can't stand Greeks. Okay? How about, you know, we have the ability to find everybody who's got an IQ of over 100 or over 80 or how about over 70? How about the Somalians around 69 or 59 or whatever? And we want to make sure we have willful sheeple that are willing to work and do what they're told. So we make sure that we get a good vaccine out or send some pathogen in the air that targets people that have only IQs of over 100 or over 80. You guys think it's not possible? Hey, guys, this is the world we live in, and we've given them that technology by giving them the samples they needed to develop it. Because they'll tell you, you got 3% Irish, 10% German, 20% Russian, and 8% Jewish, and 15% Greek. All right, well, okay. Well, now they don't like people that have more than 18% Greek. We need to take those people out, too. This is the new world that we live in. We have the technology available, and now the Shanghai Flippy Flippy Company has the ability to do that, too. See, this is what we have to understand that's going on. This is how advanced. When that stupid spaceship landed with those fallen angels or whoever were running around doing all that stuff back in 47, and we started retro-engineering all this stuff, okay, when we started doing all this, read the book The Day After Roswell, lasers came from it. The computer ships came from it. The glasses that you see, the infrared glasses, they all came from that technology. Read Colonel Corso, full bird colonel, came out and said the day after Roswell. Helluride, former defense minister of Canada, in his book The Money Mafia. You need to read that book too, by the way. The Money Mafia has a whole chapter in there on Colonel Corso and the alien issue, which is, of course, to us, is the fallen angel issue. Guys, it's what it is. This is the world we live in. We live in this. Now they got this breakaway civilization that has this type of advanced technology that could target you based on your DNA. That's what it is. That's how it's continuing. By the way, Republican lawmakers have introduced articles of impeachment, and it's about time, against Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Republican lawmakers led by Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan introduced articles of impeachment against Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, the top official in the Department of Justice, overseeing Robert Mueller's investigation. They cited a failure to comply with House oversight requests. The House conservatives further chastised the DOJ and Rosenstein for withholding embarrassing documents, knowingly hiding information, abusing the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, you think? And failure to reply with the congressional subpoenas. The House only requires a simple majority of the legislative chamber, 218 votes, to impeach a member of the executive or judicial branch. If the House were to impeach Rosenstein, then the Senate will require two-thirds majority to remove him from office, which that's not going to happen. There's no way they're going to get two-thirds of the senators to take him out, and here's why. Because of all of the dual Israeli citizenships in the Senate, and that's just not going to happen. There are too many Democrats. It's just not going to happen. Rosenstein's not going to go anywhere because there's too many people out there that are supporting the witch hunt against Trump. What do you think, Austin, and what's your next story?
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. This whole thing, it's a show. It's smoke and mirrors. This whole thing with Cohen, now Cohen's basically coming out and saying that he's got information that basically Trump and Trump Jr. basically were trying to get dirt on Hillary through Russia before the election. And I mean, this whole thing is a joke to me. Every time I turn around and I hear stuff about it, I just start giggling hysterically. Because, I mean, it literally is like a circus show now with CNN and all these mainstream medias where they have nothing else to do except try to circulate this fake news and come up with just garbage that's not even news just so they can turn around and push their fake narrative to control the masses and the population's mind. All while the whole time nobody's talking about the fact that the House of Representatives yesterday passed the 2019 National Defense Authorization Act, which will hand President Donald Trump $1,717 billion in military spending. This is separate from the national budget, guys. This is the NDAA. And it still has to be passed by the Senate. However, it looks like there's not going to be much resistance. Of the total $717 billion, the bill would authorize $616 billion for the base Pentagon budget, $21 billion for nuclear weapons program under the Energy Department, and another, listen to this, this right here, the first thing that came to my mind, what's the first three acronym letter alphabet so you think of when you hear this next one? $69 billion in war spending for the Special Overseas Contingency Operations Account. That's CIA. That's exactly what that is, by the way. If nobody can figure that out. That was $69 billion that goes to the CIA, the Special Overseas Contingency Operations Account. That's a.k.a. CIA slush fund, $70 billion basically in their slush fund that they can use at their discretion to do anything they want because it's not part of the national budget, guys. This is part of the National Defense Authorization Act. So at any point in time, they say this is because it's for national security. We can't privy you to the information. It's national security. We need to take a draw. We need $5 billion out of our $70 billion account that we have now. Nobody can say anything to anyone about it. Literally, the CIA has carte blanche immunity with this, and they have access to the funds at any time, anywhere in the world, anytime they want them. The president doesn't even have to know about it because once he signs over this NDAA, that money disappears. It literally goes into a black ops budget account. It doesn't even exist anymore. When they say something like it's for war spending for the Special Overseas Contingency Operations Account, that tells you right there this has nothing to do with protecting the country. This has nothing to do with foreign policy. This is all about putting black op money in black op accounts so the CIA has slush fund money to carry out their current operations. Oh, like overthrowing leaders like Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein and other individuals in other countries that they don't want there anymore because they're not being useful puppets to push their agenda. That, when I saw that today, I thought that was quite disturbing that we're giving that much more money to the Pentagon when they already got a huge chunk of cash, if I'm not mistaken, $650 billion in the budget. So now we're showing that we're looking at roughly around $1.3 trillion that the Pentagon is basically getting to get for defense money now, Dad. These are just, $1.3 trillion. This is crazy money now, crazy money.
Well, the whole thing about it is that nobody's surprised. It's just, it is what it is.
No.
It's just because this is, remember, the CIA is running the military. The military is running the Congress, and this is all being run through the 17 Kambala Network, which is all being tied into Lucifer through this child trafficking, pedophile, drug importation funding through the CIA with the $1.5 trillion coming out of Afghanistan every year, being the third largest commodity in the world, heroin now behind oil and natural gas. Guys, what other show has told you that the Afghan poppy fields increased from 500 square miles to 1,000 square miles under Trump? One other show. Name it for me, please. Send me the email on that. And it went from 4.5 metric tons to 10,000 metric tons now, instead of 4,500 metric tons. It's funding. They're trying to addict the whole stinking planet to opiates so they can keep their sabotage. This is that whole thing it talks about in the Book of Revelations about these guys with pharmakia, with drugs. Man, I'm going to get off that topic. Meghan McCain explodes at Joy Behar on The View TV show, saying it's dangerous to normalize socialism. I don't really care for the McCain family, but I will quote her on this. Meghan McCain challenged Joy Behar, who advocates socialism, that she wants everybody to contribute up to 90% of their paycheck to taxes to fund socialist programs that have a long history of economic failure and human suffering. Meghan pointed out that Venezuela, a wealthy country in terms of assets and natural resources, yet citizens there have lost an average of 24 pounds due to starvation because they have no food to eat because of failed socialist policies. I mean, this Joy Behar, this rag that we call The View, this socialist, communist indoctrination, nauseating, left-wing communism program that's on TV shows that these guys want all of us to be enslaved just like they did in Soviet Russia. And that wasn't Soviet Russia that time. It was in Russia in 1915, 16, 17. This is what they want for America. And we have let the enemies into our gates. We've allowed them to come in, get into Congress, get into Senate, infiltrate, you know, the top positions in the White House, in the media, and we've allowed them to dictate their policies, the same as they did with Russia over 100 years ago, into the United States, and we've given them our blessing. We've allowed the enemies to come into the gates, and now they're doing everything they can to destroy us after we invited them in. You guys, I told you the story of the frog and the scorpion. I won't recover that again today because we're almost out of time. But guys, it's one of those things. We've got to clean house in Washington, D.C. We've got to get these clowns out of the office. We've got to get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank. We've got to nationalize the assets of the Federal Reserve Bank and force the Rothschild cartel to pay back all of that non-binding debt that we've sold to other countries. Guys, I love you. We're out of time. Wow, what a quick show. I love you, and I appreciate you. Had the opportunity to pray for you guys again today and to pray for our friends in Australia and all of you other guys who asked me to pray for you individually. I try to do it on a regular basis, too. I love you guys. Thanks for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for being part of the family. You guys are awesome, and I don't know what to say, but thank you. You guys have a great weekend. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I will talk to you guys on Monday. Austin, go ahead and finish the show. Love you guys.
Absolutely, guys. We really do appreciate the support. I'm getting some great comments on a lot of the orders you guys have sent us, and it's great to get a lot of the positive feedback you guys write. You know, that's why we put the order comment option open on there. You know, so if you guys want to say something or give us some feedback, I had somebody else the other day was basically telling me how good the joint rebuilding formula was working as far as for his soft tissue and his knee, and he actually did not have to have knee replacement surgery now because he's been using the joint rebuilding formula for the last couple months along with the Great Lakes gelatin hydroxylate. And seeing stuff like that's great. We love helping people. That's the goal of what we do all the time. And, you know, we stay busy doing it. There's a lot of people that call in a lot of times. And a lot of times we're just giving out nutritional advice and health advice and exercise advice. And, you know, we do the best we can to help everybody out with the time that we have. And that's really what we're here to do. So we appreciate the support, guys. Thank you for at least buying your multiple vitamins from us. That helps us fund the show. That helps us keep everything going, even if it's just a bottle of multiples. That really, really makes a difference, because as you guys know, this show's not sponsored as far as by any outside link. It's basically sponsored by Health Masters, which is us. That is Dad. That is the Brower family. That is me. That's what we do. So we want to bring you guys 57 minutes of raw, uninterrupted articles, just like we did today. True news, real news, with no commercials, no pop-ups, no ads, no pop-ups on our website, nothing. That is because solely of you guys, and we appreciate that, and we thank you for the continued support you guys are giving us on a daily and weekly basis. We really appreciate it. If you guys need anything at all, be sure to check out the different specials over the weekend on the website. The Joint Relief Formula, got it on summer sale right now for over 25% off, along with the Maximum Energy Kit, which is almost 10% off right now. The Vive Anti-Wrinkle and Hair Health 5-Pack, been a very, very popular one right now. That one's over 15% off. And of course, we have the product of the week, the one and only D3 10,000 with K2, one of our most popular products that we carry, incredibly good for the immune system, on sale for over 10% off right now. We love you guys. We appreciate you. You guys have a blessed night. Have a safe Friday night. Have an awesome weekend. Keep your situational awareness where it needs to be. Always know what's going on in your surroundings and be prepared for anything at any time. I appreciate you guys. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again Monday as always.